Ephesians 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 15. Ephesians 1, beginning in verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Right. Let's pray together. All right. And we'll get started this evening. Father, we just come to you right now, and I thank you for what we've sung tonight so far. Lord, we've taken our hearts and we focused our hearts on you. You are the great I am, the Lord Almighty, holy, holy is your name. And Lord, we are coming before you as those who are in desperate need of you. We're in desperate need of you right now. I need you right now. Everyone in this room needs you right now. And Lord, we need you to speak to us. We need you to quiet our hearts. We need you to come and Lord, as we come into this conference right now, as we come into this time together, I just pray for those who have entered into this place and are coming out of difficult circumstances and difficult situations and difficult times at home and whatever difficulties, whatever are things that are causing there to not be peace in the hearts of the students that are here right now. God, I pray that you would now speak peace, Jesus, as you did on the Sea of Galilee that stormy night. I pray that you would speak peace and that, Lord, the storm would be stilled. Lord, we need to hear from you. We need the eyes of our hearts enlightened. We need to be awakened so that we can hear your voice and be changed and be made more like Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that as we begin right now, begin this week-long conference and all that you have to say and all that you have to do for every heart that is bowed in your presence right now, God, I pray that right now we would just be still and know that you are God. That we would just be quiet and know that your speaking voice, your Holy Spirit, is able to come and to speak to us. And Lord, we trust you for that. And Father, I pray right now that as we sang, that we would decrease, I would decrease, and you would increase. And Lord, we trust you to do that. We need your Spirit now, Lord. We need your presence. We need your you to come and to speak to us. And so, Lord, we just trust you for that. We give you thanks, Lord, for all of the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ. And we trust you now, Lord, to meet us. And we give you thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't worry about it. I just said to Mr. Johnson that I don't usually have like visual stuff up here, even though it's kind of nice and kind of fun to work on. And I spent half the day running around getting internet to try to do it, but this is what happens. Inevitably, it never works for me, ever. And so I don't know. I we'll try again tomorrow night, so we'll see. But anyway, it's okay. So you just got to, you know, you got nothing to look at but me. Sorry about that. You've been welcomed, and so I won't welcome you again. It's good. I know a few of you, most of you, I have no idea who you are, and pretty much all of you have no idea who I am. But one of the things that we're going to be doing here this in the evening times this week is taking some time to think through our Christian lives. And I say that because I want to just let you know I'm making some assumptions right now, okay? I'm going to assume a few things about you guys. I know on the the brochure for this conference, on the website for this conference, that it's for students who want to follow hard after God. You're here, at least, you know, at least according to the brochure, you're here because you want to, like, move forward in your Christian life. Now, that may not be true. Some of you may be here because of the food or because of the games or because of, you know, whatever. I don't know. But I'm going to assume, all right, I'm going to assume that all of you are here right now because you want to go on with God. You want to know Jesus more. You want your Christian life, maybe you felt like something was lacking and you want something that lack to be like filled up somehow or whatever. But so that means this, all right? I'm assuming that all of you are believers, and I'm going to be speaking this week. I will be speaking in our evening sessions to believers. Now, I make that assumption, but I also know for a fact that's not true. I know for a fact, no, I don't know for a fact, but I can tell you pretty much that there are people here who you don't know Jesus yet, not really. And I've been praying, and I'm sure others here at the staff, the people that are putting this conference on this week have been praying, I'm sure, that some of you will actually, you know, like meet Jesus for the first time. And I pray that happens. I pray that happens during this time. But the fact is we're going to be spending our time during these evening sessions. I'm going to be speaking to you as believers, all right? But here's the other thing. And this is really the concern, I guess, that I have in thinking about this message or these series of messages from the book of Ephesians. And really what kind of stems or is underlying this somehow. You guys, I think this generation, maybe more than any other generation, this could probably be argued and probably maybe will be argued after the session's over with or something, I don't know. But I believe that this generation that you are a part of is maybe one of the most precariously placed generations in maybe the history of America. Now, that's not a researched fact, but it's a concern I have. I think if you look at if you go on to and look at, you know, I'm sure all of you do this when you get on the internet, but if you go and you look at statistics and you look at trends, if you will, you'll find that according to trends and statistics and things like that, all of you guys sitting here, I mean, you probably go to church, you're here at a Christian youth conference or whatever, but if the trends and the statistics hold to what they're saying right now, well over half of you will no longer be following Jesus 5-10 years from now. That's what they say. Not just, oh, you won't, you know, your generation's leaving the church. And that's what all the statistics, all the things are saying, that the people your age and a little older than you are leaving the church. But many are not even, like, their faith is broken. And that's something that all of us should really be concerned about. One of the things that I am hoping and praying this week is that you will be equipped somehow this week, maybe, at least the beginnings of that. It's just a conference, and sometimes conferences are, yeah, they're one of those things where it maybe is the beginning of some momentum, perhaps, at least, in equipping you, in putting you in a place where you can handle what's coming at you. Because I think some of you probably don't even know what's coming at you. You have no idea what is working. There's an entire world system that is out there that is set up and designed to cause you to not walk by faith. The Bible teaches us, and I'm sure you will hear about this week. I know you'll hear about it some in the evening time anyway. The Bible teaches us that we as believers, like the one core thing as believers that we're to do is we're to walk by faith. The scripture says you're to walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. The righteous person lives by faith. We are to live by faith. We're to live by faith in what? Well, live by faith in Jesus and everything he did for us on the cross and all that it means to know him and to walk with him, and because of his death and his resurrection and everything that Jesus is, that's we live by that. We die by that. And everything that we say that we believe as Christians is all based on that. So we walk by faith, and yet there is an entire system that's set up that will little by little eat away at faith, at your faith, at my faith. And I think that the scriptures give us tools, if you will. It's actually a little more than that, but we'll call it that for right now. Tools, the equipping that we need to be able to stand against that, because I want you to be able to, I don't want you to be a statistic. I don't want you guys here to be in this place and to have this great week, and then, you know, you go off and you do whatever, and then come to find out 5 years from now, 10 years from now, you're not walking by faith at all. Because it's pretty serious deal. You say, oh, I'll never do that. It's possible. I think many of us know too many stories of too many people who have said, you know what? I'm going to walk away, not just from the church, but I'm going to walk away from Jesus. And I don't want you to do that. Because everything that we sang about this evening, about Jesus, and about the satisfaction that he is and the life that he brings and everything about it, it's true. And yet, people walk away from that. So I think, and I hope during our sessions in the evenings, that we'll be able to walk through that. You know, there's a lot of situations that you're going to face. We live in an incredibly ego-driven society, and we crave third-party validation so much, to the point of, I mean, we're so narcissistic about it. And again, you're kind of facing that as a generation. I mean, this is the generation of the selfie, right? You know? And if I don't get enough likes on my selfie, then I'm like hurt. Oh, they must not like me, you know? Because they didn't like me on Facebook. And so, my life is ruined. I think there's danger in that we have to actually kind of like face and begin to believe the right things. The scripture, the Bible tells us, is written to help us to walk by faith and not by sight. And Ephesians, the book of Ephesians in particular, I think is particularly helpful with that. Now, here's the thing. I've only got 4 sessions, which is fine, but we're not going to be able to go through the whole book of Ephesians in 4 sessions. I don't think that's possible. There's too much here. I started to actually, as I was preparing for this, I began to go through thinking, you know what, we're just going to go through the whole book of Ephesians in 4 sessions. And then I thought, that's nuts, Anderson. That's not going to happen. It's just, there's too much. So what we're going to do is break it down into just kind of 4, I don't know, sections, if you will. And tonight, we're going to be talking about certain things in the Christian life. There's certain things that you need to know, okay? There's certain things that you need to know. And so we're going to be talking about things tonight that we need to know. What does the scripture tell us we need to know in order to walk by faith, in order to live by faith, in order to not be a statistic that falls away or chooses to walk away? What do you need to know? Well, I think there's certain things that the Bible teaches us that we do need to know. Now, let me living by faith is, first of all, it's not primarily about feeling, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow night, but there's very little that will lead you to walking by sight and not walking by faith. There's very little that will do that more than living the Christian life based on how you feel. I'm telling you, it's just, you cannot do that. You cannot live the Christian life based on how you feel. Feelings are really, they're helpful in some ways, and they're helpful even in times like worship times where we can, you know, have our hearts connect with who God is and the beauty and the glory and the satisfaction of knowing God. But then there's other times when you're gonna feel certain things in certain ways for whatever reason, And it's really not that helpful in us learning to walk by faith. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow night. But on the other hand, walking by faith also isn't primarily about what you know. Even though we're going to be talking tonight about things that you know. Probably a year ago, 2 years ago, I guess, I went to an academic conference in Amsterdam. And it was a conference on, biblical literature, something like this. Some Biblical Literature Society conference. And I didn't really know what to expect. I'd never been to an academic conference before and thought, well, this will be interesting. So I went, and the people that I talked to, for the most part, were not believers at all. There's an entire conference dealing with the Bible, a whole conference. And I don't know that, I think I met one person who actually believed in Jesus. The whole rest of the conference was intellectualizing about the scriptures, and they were really smart people, really smart people. But they didn't know God. And so the Christian life isn't really primarily about what you know, because you can know, obviously, a lot about this book and not know who he is. This is why in this particular prayer, Paul begins it with these words. He's praying for them. And he says this, I pray that the Father of glory would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know. So here's the thing. Paul's not just praying that you will know something. He's praying that you would supernaturally know something, okay? Now, there's a difference. There's a big difference. Paul's praying that you would know something that would be more than just head knowledge, more than just superficial knowledge about certain things. I've got a couple illustrations here, and none of them actually really get it, but I'm going to use them anyway because it gives you little pieces, I think, of how this works. Paul is not praying that you would know these things in the sense that, most everyone here can drive, right? You know how to drive. You at least have your learner's permit. Maybe you've got your driver's license. You know how to drive. But there's something more to cars. There's a lot more to cars than knowing how to drive, right? So just because you know how to drive doesn't mean you know anything about what's going on inside that car. There are things that are happening in there that are physics and chemistry and everything else that I don't know anything about. I don't know anything about cars. I just know you put a key in and you turn it on, and you know, if you've got a 5-speed, you know, you use the clutch and you do that, and if you've got an automatic, you drive and you follow the rules and, you know, don't speed or whatever. But there's more to that. The other one that I is kind of like this. There's somebody who can hack a computer. Somebody who can literally hack a computer. There are people who can break into the CIA database and get stuff or whatever, you know? And then there's people that say their computer has been hacked because they left their Facebook open and someone wrote stupid stuff, you know, on their whatever, you know? Oh, I got hacked. No, you didn't get hacked. You know, that's not hacking at all. Not even close. So it's one thing to know how to sit down and use a computer and use an internet browser and be able to do this. And it's another thing to actually know the intricacies of how to, what's going on behind everything, right? There's knowledge that is kind of this general, yeah, I can do this. And then there's knowledge that's something more. But that doesn't quite get what Paul's getting at here, because it's not just more knowledge. It's not just more things that you have to know. What Paul's talking about in here, he's praying, is that you would have something supernatural happen, that you would have, that your eyes, the eyes of your heart would be enlightened, that you would have, it's as if the eyes of your hearts, even, now he's talking to Christians here, this is important, as believers. Paul is praying for believers, and he's praying that believers, he said not to get in front of these speakers, so I'm going to try to be careful not to get in front of the speakers. But he's praying for believers, and in that process, he's praying, hey, I pray that the film, the cataracts that are on your eyes would come off. I pray that you would be able to see something that you were not able to see before. That's amazing when you stop to think about that. And as believers, it's like, hey, you know, I know how to be a Christian. But Paul's praying that I pray that you would have something happen to you that really only God can do. I mean, you're a Christian today because only God did something. God took someone who was dead and brought you to life. You were dead and now you're alive. I mean, you were blind, completely blind, and now you can see, but it's almost as if there is still more to be seen. Your vision can go 20/20. I take my glasses off and I can't see any of you. Not us, like you're just like one big blur and I can't see any of you. But then I put my glasses on and I can, like, you have faces, you know, and like noses and stuff. I can see you, you know. So it's, Paul is praying that the Holy Spirit, and he's praying Spirit. Now, my Bible has a little S, and some Bibles have a big S, some Bibles have a little S, and theologians go back and forth. I think it's big S. I think this is the work of the Holy Spirit. I think this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth that allows us to see Jesus, that points us to Christ. So I believe that Paul is talking Spirit, big S, all right? Now, some people say it's not, but it's okay. It's not that big of a deal, but I think it's Holy Spirit, big S. Open your eyes, so you'll see something that you couldn't see before. And when you come into a conference like this, you know what you can do? Tonight, when you go to your groups or whatever, the best thing that you guys can do for each other is to pray for each other and pray this prayer. God, I pray that my brother over here and my sister over here, me, that we would have our eyes opened so that we can see. So we can be awakened to things that we've never been awakened to before. So we can see things that we've not seen before. So that our eyes would be open, that we would be given divine, supernatural wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. That's, like, in one sense, like, that's the best application I can give you. We can just fold up our Bibles and go home and pray. Because that's really what Paul's saying here. He's saying, I pray that you would have your eyes opened. I pray you do have your eyes open. I believe that's a prayer God will answer every time. There are certain specific things that Paul then says. I pray that you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him. The eyes of your hearts would be enlightened so that you may know. So you may know. Now, just like, Paul kind of talks in circles sometimes. So I pray that you'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So the first thing that, and the big universal picture here is that we need to know God. We need to know God. He prays that we would have wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. That's, you know, there's nothing really more important than that. There's nothing more important than in your lives, in any of our lives, is we need to know God. If we don't know God, we don't know life. We don't know God, we don't know, I mean, we're and that's what this big picture is. And here's the thing, in the Christian life, it's not enough. It's not enough for us to you know, like, whatever way that your testimony is that you entered into this life of following Jesus and to say, okay, yeah, I'm a Christian. That's not enough. The Christian life is a journey that does not end at that point. It does not end at some point where you know, you wherever you think it may end. It's something that we go on, and I believe the scriptures teach us that we go into eternity, from now into eternity, to know God. If God is infinite, the knowledge of God is infinite. To know God doesn't mean like we you know, okay, I've memorized the whole Bible. Well, that's great. But we are to know God, and to know God in certain ways. The only way that's going to happen is by the Holy Spirit doing new things in your life so that your eyes are open, so that you can see. And for personally, I don't think even when you die and you are in the presence of God and for eternity, all of eternity is going to be continuing to experience and to explore the wonders and the glory and the beauty and the majesty of God. I don't think we get that sometimes. I think sometimes we come to things like this and we hear messages and we hear stuff from church and youth groups and all of that, and we think, okay, yeah, I know all that already. But it's not about knowledge here that Paul is talking about. It's not head knowledge. It's knowing God. It's God knowledge. It's realizing that, you know what, there's more, and there's more. I hope that some of you came here with the sense of maybe, like, maybe there's something more that I don't know and I don't get. I think there's a certain wonder that sometimes we can lose. And you know, this week, I was thinking about this earlier this afternoon. I don't know what your church situation is, and I don't want to bash that or whatever, but, you know, sometimes I grew up in the 80s, and in the 80s, like, was the beginning of, like, the youth group culture. You know what that is? And it's actually, I look back and it's like, oh man, it's just so ridiculous because, like, you know, for the churches that I grew up in were you know, youth group churches. And I went to a church where, you know, the youth group was like, had to have all of these activities and all of these fun things. And if you didn't do all these fun things, then nobody came. And so, you know, I mean, it was just boom, 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 boom. And so at least for maybe for people my age and younger, and maybe for some of you, we think of Christianity as being kind of this youth group culture, you know, where we have, like, you know, we do gross games and, you know, that kind of thing. And you're coming this week to a time where, I mean, you're going to have a blast. I mean, you're going to have a great time. It's not like it's boring or anything, but you're going to be hearing, like, theology, you know? And that's actually really cool, because some of you are like 15 or 14 or I don't know what the youngest of you. You're going to be hearing theology this week. And I think that's really, really awesome. I think that's a powerful thing, because when it comes to coming to a place where our faith is going to stand, it's this kind of theology that's going to hold you. It's the knowledge of God. And the fact that you can know God through the person of Christ. And you can have a relationship with the living God through Jesus. So Paul's praying that he would know. He says, I pray that you would know, have wisdom, spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, and that the eyes of your hearts would be enlightened. And again, that's the cataracts would come off your eyes, the glasses would come on, you'd be able to see. And he says three things here. And I'm just going to go through these quickly. In one sense, the main point here is the Holy Spirit, open your eyes. But he prays very specifically for three things. He says, I pray that you would know the hope that you have within you. You would know hope. Now, what he's talking about there is, and we didn't have time to go through all this. See, this is why you got to go through the whole book here. But all this whole first part of Ephesians, Paul just has one great big long sentence, essentially, all right? It's just one big long sentence. And the big long sentence basically says, you know what? You are in Christ, and you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ, and you have been adopted, and you have been chosen, and you have been given every spiritual blessing that you can possibly imagine or think about. He just goes off. And he has this big long sentence of everything that has happened through the finished work of Jesus on the cross and through his death and resurrection. And he says, now I pray that because of this, you would know hope. In the C.S. Lewis's The Chronicles of Narnia, I think it's in the last battle, there's a phrase that just, like, captures me. Because at the end, when kind of the whole story's coming to an end, the whole story, it's all being closing down. Lewis writes it this way. He says, it's as if the term is over, the holidays have begun, the dream is ended, this is the morning. And I love that because that's like, we have a hope that is sure. We have a hope that we it's hard, I think, for us, the younger we are, the harder it is to really see beyond that. But the fact is this life is very short, and the assurance that you have of tomorrow isn't there. But the assurance that you have of Jesus and life from now till forever is actually very sure. And Paul says, I pray you'd know that. I pray you would know that hope. I pray that you would know that that there is going to be a time that comes when and we sang about it tonight, when everything is going to be made right. He talks about that in terms of our inheritance as well. We have an unbreakable, unshakable hope. He says, I pray that you would know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And that is, again, speaking of the fact that, look, in this life, you're going to have people, Jesus said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. You will have trouble. And sometimes you have trouble just because you're being a jerk, right? Sometimes we have trouble. I have. I've had trouble in my life because I was just being a stupid jerk. And so people got mad at me and I got mad at them. And so that happens. But oftentimes Jesus said, you're also going to have trouble, not just because you've been a jerk. Jesus said, you're going to have trouble because I had trouble. People are going to hate you because they hated me. People are going to hate you because you're a Jesus follower, and that offends them, and that makes them angry, and that makes them, like, they're going to hate you. Jesus said this. You can count on this. They're going to hate you because they hated me. And so what Paul is praying here is that in spite of all of that, you know what your inheritance is. You don't have to be a jerk. You're going to get enough hatred from the world without being a jerk. You don't have to do that. But the fact is that what happens in this life, what happens to you when you leave this place, the things that come against you, whether it's in school or from your family or from your friends or from your relative or wherever, whatever is coming against you, and your commitment to say, okay, I'm going to walk with Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. And whatever comes against you in that, there are certain things you need to know. You need to know that you have hope. You need to know that you have an inheritance that is beyond measure. If you're rich in this life, some of you have a lot of money in your family. Some of you, if you're rich in this life, knowing your inheritance means that you know that everything you have can be taken away. And it's okay because your hope and your desire or your you know that your life doesn't come from your life in this world. So you're able to say, okay, these things don't matter to me and it can all be taken away because my hope isn't there. My hope is in an inheritance that's to come. If you're poor in this life, you know that in Christ you have the treasure of 1,000 kings. And so my hope isn't here. My hope is not in this life. That's a really hard thing for any of us. It's very difficult for any of us to not hope in this life. And especially for you, because you're all young. And it's kind of hard to I don't even compute with that for some. But here's the thing. For you and for me, for those of us who follow Christ, the Bible is really clear. The Bible teaches us that the glory of the Lord will fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. That's going to happen. And if the world out there knew that that's what we really believed, they would be up in arms. Some people that get that are up in arms. But the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. Put it in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it says that the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. So what that means for us is that we're part of a kingdom. You are a part of a kingdom. We have an inheritance that's in this kingdom that is ours in Christ. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. Do you know, like, if President Obama or if Putin or if whatever, you Elbik Dorge, He's the president of Mongolia. If they, like, didn't know that, did you? If they knew that, if they, like, knew that's what was going on, they would hate the church because their kingdoms are going to come down. Jesus is going to make every wrong right one day. He's going to, as Tolkien put it, he said he's going to make everything sad will come untrue. I think Jesus is going to make everything right. And there's going to be a point in time that is to come that everything that's unjust will be made just. And I don't know how that's going to work out. It's not my business to know how that's going to work out because that's God's job. But the fact of the matter is that's what we're a part of. And if people knew that, look out. Problem is, I don't even know that we always believe it, but the fact of the matter is it's true. Now, I think Paul is touching on this here when he talks about that you would know your inheritance, that you would know it. And finally, he says that you would also know the power of God that is at work on your behalf, the immeasurable greatness of the power of God towards us who believe. Here's the thing he wants you to know. Praise that you will know. I think it's Romans 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? That neither height nor depth, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things in heaven, nor things on earth, nor any created thing, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. There is at work in us as believers, at work in you, if you are a Jesus follower, the resurrected power of Christ, the same power that rose Jesus from the dead, is at work in us. God is for us. And now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't always look like the way that we think it should look like. Well, if God is for me, then my life will be perfect. Yeah, no, that's not how it works. God is for us because he's working all things together for our good, and he's working in all of that, working things together for our good and for his glory. Now, what is for our good doesn't always look like what we think it should look like. It's oftentimes there's discipline involved with that because I think as we grow in our Christian lives, for me anyway, I've found myself becoming more like a child and realizing, you know what? I'm just an infant. I mean, God is I don't know anything. And we become more dependent upon him. And really, what is for our good oftentimes is painful. And oftentimes causes hurt in our lives. But the fact of the matter is God then uses that for his glory and uses it in ways that is beyond marvelous, beyond anything we could imagine or ask or think. It's not your power at work in you. It's God's power at work in you. So those are the things. Those are the things that Paul is praying that you would know. Now, here's the thing. For many of us, we're like, I don't even understand what any of that means. You know? I mean, you can even go through there and say, I don't understand what any of that means. That's why he's praying the prayer. That's why he's praying the prayer. I would encourage you, as we go into this week, to pray that prayer. I believe that as we walk in this, as we pray this prayer, as we begin to see and to realize that, hey, I begin to understand that God is for me, as I begin to understand that I have an inheritance that nobody can take away from me, that my identity is found completely in who Jesus is and not in what I do, not in who my friends are, not in who likes my junk on Facebook. That's not my identity. My identity is in who I am in Christ, that Jesus is in me. He dwells in me. His life is in me. And as I begin to understand that, as I begin to understand that my hope is there, my inheritance is there, that the power is there, then I begin to realize that, whoa, wait a minute. That's all Jesus. My hope is Jesus. My inheritance is Jesus. My power is Jesus. So Paul is praying that you would know Jesus, because hope and power and inheritance, it's all a person. It's Christ. And so Paul's praying that you'd know him. And I think that as we go into this week, we can pray that same prayer as well, that we would know him, that you would meet Jesus. And if you haven't met Jesus, that you would meet Jesus. And if you've met Jesus, that our eyes would be open, there would be more scales taken off so that we can see him more clearly and worship him more rightly. And so I'm going to pray for you right now as we close this evening. I want to pray for you and pray that you would know him. As you go back to your groups this evening, I'm going to pray. I think I would encourage you to pray that prayer for each other, so that you will stand and that your faith will stand and your faith will be all that God has for you in this life. So let's pray. God, I do pray that you would open up eyes. Lord, I pray that you would cause there to be an enlightening of hearts. I pray that there would be a work of your spirit of wisdom, and your spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus in this place. I pray, Father, that you would awaken the dead. For those who are here today that are dead in their trespasses and sins and have darkened hearts and minds to the knowledge of God, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would wake them up. They would repent and believe and hear and receive and understand the gospel. I pray for all of us, Lord, that you would help us to walk in enlightenment, and that your Holy Spirit would be free to work in us and to move in us and to open our eyes and to help us to see you, to see you more clearly. I pray that you would help us to know what is our hope, who is our hope, that you would help us to know what is our inheritance and who is our inheritance. And you would help us to know the power of God that's at work in us, and to know who that power is. And Lord, I pray that your will would be done in this place this week. I pray for all of the sessions and the messages and the things that everyone's going to be hearing this week. And I just pray that your Spirit would be at work, that your Spirit would be at work in this place, in these hearts, for your glory and your honor. And we trust you for that and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.